Hi, Julie.
Welcome to Hey Julie, a podcast about Big Brother. Danielle, hi. Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. I'm
You're battening down the hatches.
Down the hatches here in Los Angeles. We're on Hurricane Hillary watch. It is 11.
Pray for Brett.
Yeah, I know. Pray for the troops. Pray for Brett. Pray for Los Angeles. Uh-huh. Pray for Southern California. I mean, these actors are out there striking in the hurricane.
Right.
Orlando Bloom. David Harbour. Can you go from a gamer to a racer?
Wait, so did you see Gran Turismo?
No. Well, I tweeted you. Anyways. Yeah, whatever. There's a hurricane or something happening in LA. It's raining. Whatever. If, like, this podcast doesn't come out, or if you're watching this and, like, all of a sudden I disappear, it's because my power went out and my internet went out. Like, this is, I'm absolutely imagining this is going to happen at some point today. I'm going to lose power. The reason I was tweeting in all caps about Gran Turismo, I keep wanting to say Gran Torino, is because there was an ad during the live show on Thursday for Gran Torino. And it was like, Gran Torino has 98%. I know I said it, Gran Turismo, Gran Torino. Gran Turismo has 98%. It's Rocky on race cars.
It is Rocky on race cars. It's made it's the movie you of the would summer. Never, ever believe that this gamer could drive a car. I love it. I love it. I was
hanging out with some friends yesterday and they were like, I can't wait to watch this movie on a plane 4 months from now.
Oh, yes. I mean, I saw Oppenheimer last night and I thought it was fab. I thought it was fab. But there was a small part of me that was like, but I wonder what if I was watching Gran Turismo instead? You know, wouldn't I be just a little bit happier?
I'm sure there's as many guys.
Oh, yes.
In both movies.
Listen, we got to talk about Big Brother first. Then I'll give Danny's thoughts on Oppenheimer.
All right. So, Danielle, let's just start with Wednesday's episode.
Which I didn't watch.
Okay. So, like, what is there to say? So much happened, so little happened. We're going to, like, brush through it, talk about what's happening right now a little bit later. Heisen was HOH and he had HOH. Itis. It was
iconic, fabulous.
This is the season of HOH itis, I think.
Good.
The best thing that can happen. It's the Stanford prison experiment running wild.
Yeah. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of chatter about how Heisen, like, is the new villain, and, you know, people didn't like, even in the episode on Thursday, it's not a secret, people didn't like the way he ran his HOH. He was bossy. He didn't listen to what people had to say. Like, how dare Heisen not listen to Bowie Jane's opinion on Big Brother? Like,
Bowie, who should we get out?
Let me go on the record.
I don't want to say anything.
I'm going on the record right now. I'm Team Heisen, baby. I want Heisen to last in this house as long as possible, being a comp beast, being Mr. Bossy Pants, being up in that HOH room, freaking out about whoever.
These DRs where he's like so serious.
I love it. I love it. We need someone because he's like, this is as good of a villain as we're going to get. I just want everyone to realize this is as...
I'm a doctor and I am prescribing you death.
Dr. Death. This is as unproblematic as a villain as we're going to get. Like, he's just 100% a villain in the BB house in that he, like, you know, his ego got to him. Doctors all have a little bit of a God complex anyway. Yeah. But, you know, slap HOH on that. And he's so competitive. He's such an overachiever. It was like the perfect storm. As a human being, Heisen seems like a great guy. Super fascinating, interesting guy. So this is the best we're going to get. He's
out
a fun
there
villain.
Saving lives, helping the elderly community, of which we are a part.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's why I like him so much. I need him to look at something for me.
Our lungs and our livers healthy. And then at night, he's out there entertaining the masses.
Burlesque. Cabaret.
You know,
he's giving us his all.
Who cares if he's a bit mean to people inside of this Stanford Prison Experiment.
He is being mean. Like, I will, again, I did not watch Wednesday's episode, so I didn't see the actual veto ceremony. Supposedly, wasn't he just like, Riley said I was her target, so now Riley, you're my target. I want everyone to vote for you.
It was shocking. That's not mean. Well, the veto competition, which we need to come back to because it was like an audio clue. It was like Daily Double audio clue, Ken Jennings. Here we go. Matt, what did you think of the audio clue? That was a bit rough. And there's some theories about how the veto ceremony was presented to the audience. But like at the competition, it was like, hey, I'm choosing not to use the veto because Riley, you're my target. I want everyone to vote you out, which is like, it wasn't really like mean. It was just
direct.
It was very targeted. Like, you just don't really see a veto ceremony where someone says, I'm not using the veto and everyone should vote for you.
I love that. I love that. I mean, it takes me back. If people always say, oh, we miss old Big Brother. This is like the best of both worlds because it's like direct, messy gameplay, but not people saying like slurs.
Yeah, that like, gone. So Riley had a pretty messy HOH. Like, you know, the obit on her is like one of the most easy week one HOH positions like the producers have really set up for anyone because she got to not really get blood on her hands at all, and yet still completely mismanaged it with her tears and her like kind of setting up this. Like, she was just so overt about setting up that week one alliance that of course half the other people were like, well, I'm not in it. And it's very clear that she's doing it. It's really easy to set up a week one alliance, especially if you're HOH. And that's exactly what she did. She sort of did half of it right. It was just, she was so overt about it and then crying about how overt she was about it. And then crying about, oh, I need to be more social with the rest of the house, but not doing it. Like, okay, sure. I mean, it's just an easy thing for people to latch onto. So that's of course what Suri and Hysam and stuff did. Hysam a little bit more than others, but
yeah, I like it. I respect it. I think it's fun. It makes for good TV. Even though I didn't watch Wednesday's episode, I did watch Thursday's.
We need to go back to Sunday though. Okay. Is that possible?
Yeah, I remember watched Sundays, last Sunday, but I don't remember. No,
there's not much to remember other than 35 minutes of like.
Oh, yeah, the competition. Line readings
about gosh. The Nether Gorgon is coming to get me.
Yeah, that someone I think maybe in our Discord or on, I forget where, someone was like, was the scariest part of the Demogorgon, like the running shoes that we saw them wearing.
It was so weird.
Like the production value. I was like, this is honestly, at first I was such a casual because I was like, this is kind of cool. When they were walking through that, when they were just the first shot of all the whole cast walking through that neighborhood, like that clearly Studio City like lot neighborhood. Yes, Brett?
That neighborhood, I haven't been to Rockstar's eviction. Having been to the Big Brother, not inside the house, but having been once a audience member, that strip of like streets is like 100 feet away from the backyard in the CBS Radford lot. Like,
and they finally said,
they were like, hey guys, you don't even need to put on a blindfold. Like, hey guys, just walk out of the backyard and you're like on that street where like these houses are set up. It's very, very close by.
At first, I was kind of like into it. And then when the killer showed up, I was like, they clearly took their inspiration from like Halloween, Mike Myers. I don't know.
What if you haven't seen Stranger Things?
I have only seen the first season of Stranger Things.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. But I know that there's like the Demogorgon in it. I also like played Dungeons and Dragons. I'm currently playing a Dungeons and Dragons video game, which I'm quite enjoying.
Right.
But
was just kind of like Death. He was like Death from Scrooged or Christmas Carol.
What I love.
Maybe I should say she. I don't know what they are. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what the Demogorgon is.
What I loved about the first half of the competition is they kept being like the Demogorgon. No, it's the Nether Gorgon, the Nether Gorgon. And they kept cutting to the same shot, the same 2-second shot of the man in stilts wearing a robe, walking away from the camera. And it was just the same 1-second shot of like, just him walking away. It's like, you guys have so much time. You didn't shoot like any more B-roll of this, whatever. It was just so funny.
And it was so long. And yeah, it took forever.
And they were clearly instructed to act scared. Right. So you have Bowie. You have cabaret performer extraordinaire, Heisen, out there like... And then you have like Jared, like normal people, like Jared and stuff being like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
There was something nice about seeing them outside of the house.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Visually, at that first shot, I was like, this is kind of fun. This is kind of fun. And the idea of
like a spooky, like, shed full of chainsaws competition, visually not bad, but like,
no.
4 hours of like, lore about the Nether Gorgon and like act scared guys was like a bit rough, and then you know, so that was a bit silly. And like, what are we doing with like the transportation visual effects? Like, oh, you gotta go on the bed that sucks you away.
I mean, they really hit the creative this year. I don't know. They really got inspired.
Oh, no.
They're like, BB25.
Oh, no, Jag. Are you okay? Are you there? Can we see you through the screen? He's just sitting in a room with a camera. He's just sitting in an empty room. He's fine.
Yeah, why must we pretend? I have honestly... They should have found a way to turn one of the house guests into the Nether Gorgon, like they turned Sam into the robot.
Yeah.
That would be a little more fun. They have to wear that outfit.
Make them haunted.
Make them wear
spooky makeup. And if like they touch you, you have to go to the thing. I don't know. Like,
right. I'm getting my timeline might be a little mixed up. Wasn't Jared the first one who went to the Nether?
He was, but then it was Jag.
And then it was Bowie.
And then it was like... Bowie's so amazing. Like, Bowie's so good. Izzy's your favorite. Bowie's mine because just like, Bowie, we need someone to go to the Nether region because like, if they go, reasons. Like they can't like play video or whatever. And she's like, whatever you want to do. Whatever.
Bowie's like a good-natured indie. Like, Bowie really is...
Does it involve me leaving the house and not playing Big Brother for a while? Sounds great.
I actually really like Moe. Maybe it's because I never see her on the feeds. And she's the only time she's in an episode is when someone's like shitting on her. When Hyacinth's like, so what do you think? She starts a sentence. He's like, here's what I think. I love that.
I've just never seen anyone like so willing to not play the game and like take every opportunity to like physically not be in the house, avoid being in any sort of alliance, avoid talking game with people to the point where people are like, I'm not even going to tell Bowie about it, not to keep her from it, but it's just going to be too much information for her poor.
Well, she's just not interested. She's good natured about it though. She's like, oh yeah, he's lying, eh? All right. Well, what do you want for lunch? Like, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. I mean, usually this would really annoy me. Like, it annoyed me with Indy. But, like, I don't know. She's so not what I expected. She's just very relaxed, very chill. Well, Zen Barbie.
There was, like, with Indy, there was, like, a bit of, like, Indy wanted to win the game, though. There was like a bit
Indy
of...
Indy wanted to be famous. She wanted to be like the BB Brazilian winners who are like beloved by the public and the public votes. Bowie Jane is just sort of like, whatever. Like, I'm here.
I really want to know. Should we ride the bike? It's been said, she said it in the pregame, like other BB people have said like, oh, the Australian game is like different.
Right.
And she says as much as well. I want to understand, like, they just hang? Is it like the real world? Do they just hang and there's like no?
Maybe. Maybe there's no maybe there's no voting out.
There's no competition element to it.
I also think it's funny that like she isn't playing the game and yet she's not like she is still involved in two of the main alliances that are gaining that have gained prominence and power, the professors and Bye Bye Bitches. Like, Bowie is a founding member of both of those alliances.
Kind of. I mean, one of them, she was like, I need to leave the room. I cannot be.
Yeah, she also always just, like, leaves the room. But yet, people want to work with her. So, you know, she's got to have something going on, going for her. I like Bowie. I don't know. I'm kind of into
it. I like, you guys, if you don't like Bowie, I apologize. Because Bowie is making it to very, very late in this game.
Yeah.
There is no reason to not take Bowie to the to the end of the game. Like,
yeah,
the final three is going to be Bowie, Ceri, and Jared. And Ceri is going to tearfully slice her son's throat to take Bowie, who has been like completely asleep for 100 days, giving Bowie 15 grand or whatever. Because you take Bowie at the end, that's an instant win.
Yeah. Do we have anything else to say about Sunday or Wednesday's episodes?
I want to say one other thing about Wednesday, literally about the final thing on Wednesday. So in Wednesday's episode, they don't show the Sunday and Wednesday episodes. They don't show the Hysum HOH-itis at all, which is like the story of the house all week. If you're watching
and it's
feeds,
fun and it's TV friendly and it's like, drama.
Just show the guy being crazy and mean.
Yeah,
this is not simple. Fun. Come on. So they don't show any of that. And then how they need to tell the story of what actually happens in the week and what's going to happen this current week that we're in. He gives his little veto speech of like, hey, everyone needs to vote out Riley. And it's the typical, the music starts playing. What will happen on Thursday? And there's the DRs of like Cameron is like, I don't know. I hope I get voted to stay. And Riley being like, I'm going to fight and I'm going to stay. And then the final thing they show is a Ceri DR being like, you know what? It was just so weird because it was the first time I remember them showing someone who's not one of the main three, right? The HOH or the two nominees. They show a fourth person. And Ceri has to explain, you know what? That speech, along with a bunch of other stuff that Hysum did this week, I'm really beginning to question my loyalty to Hysum and if he should stay in the game. It felt very scripted. Like, Ceri did a very good job with her performance of it, but it felt like a completely scripted thing they needed to add on because it felt like the producers were like, you know what? We actually kind of whiffed it this week. We didn't really show any of what was happening inside the house because we spent like 3.5 hours on the Nether Gorgon stuff.
Well, before we get into the rest of the episodes, maybe this should bring us to number one of Danny's theories.
Texted me. You have theories.
This is not the one I texted you about.
I know
this
nothing
is a new
about
one.
These theories.
My theory is that Ceri is a industry plant. And it's not like this is a far-fetched theory.
Of but what? I think she is. She was planted by the
industry.
By the producers.
Yeah, and the reason being is I think the producers didn't have faith in this cast, and they not only to bring intrigue and drama, but to keep the production oils and gears a running, and that's why they brought her in. They were like, "We need a pro. We'll just make it part of the twist. We'll bring someone from Survivor who can." Not only play the game and adapt to the game and probably has like, she, you know, she's a fan favorite. So she'll have like a good amount of people know who she is and have fans and she's likable, blah, blah, blah. Not just because of that.
I know.
But because she is someone who understands how to make TV. When they give her that line, she's going to know how to say it and sell it. Unlike whoever, Hysum in the DR or whoever, like any of these newbies who don't know how to answer a full statement, right? Instead of being like, yeah, I'm mad at him. They have to say, I'm mad at Hysum because he was rude to me. They don't remember that. They have to do take after take after take in the DR with these nudes.
She hits her mark. She says her line. No,
one take Ceri.
That final DR was great because it was 20 seconds long. And she was like, She just hit like, Heisim's been doing this. I'm mad at Heisim because of this. I want to do this to Heisim. This is rubbing me the wrong way. And see you next week. Get ready for an episode of Buddy Games.
Yeah.
She hit all of it.
She's an industry plant, but I also think it's affecting her game inside the house. I think I would go so far because we saw this on Thursday. There was a potential flip of the house, right?
There was a lot,
So Heisim was adamant he wanted everyone to get Riley out. And at first, everyone was on board with this because we had a sort of split house situation. And it was the right thing for their games to get Riley, who seems sort of like the figurehead of the other side of the house, to get her out. But during the week, suddenly Miss Ceri and Miss Felicia and Miss Izzy, how could I forget? They suddenly said, you know what? We don't like the way Heisim is talking to us. We don't want Heisim to just be able to call the shots. Yeah. We have a voice too. And then Riley started having like great conversations with Miss Felicia and Miss Ceri. And they were realizing like they could potentially use her. They could keep her around. All of this, I believe, was also Ceri being an industry plant.
I'm like, you know what? We need to create some drama. Just like we just need to get like some hits on jokersupdates.com.
Yes. I think so.
Is this your second theory?
This one came after the first one. The first one I haven't said yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This is a new one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But so I just think, and I won't get into details until the spoiler section, but it's happening again where like gameplay is affected by what I think. Because it's all Ceri. So I think it's industry plantism.
Because it was like, oh, wait, if we all don't like Heisim and he keeps adamantly proposing this, you know, we get out Riley, then why do we do that? Then we should, if Heisim is our new enemy, then we shouldn't do the thing that our enemy wants. And ultimately they flipped it. It must have been pretty frustrating because this was the second week in a row, too, where like there were more than enough votes to flip it. There were more than enough votes to keep Catherine?
Riley.
Who was the first person?
Yes, Catherine. No, what was her name? Kirsten. Catherine.
Andy? Stephanie? There were more than enough votes and there were more than enough votes to keep Riley this time too, but ultimately the sort of professor's side were like having Heisim completely like off his rocker and knowing that everyone flipped on him was just going to be too bad for everyone's game, so they did that. But there was like quite some time that they thought Riley was going to get out. But you think that was just theatrics for the feedsters?
I think it was like we need more content for the episode. Like it's everyone knows the steamrolls where everything's decided on Friday or Saturday of the week, and then it's just like a slow trudge to Thursday is lame. They need content for the episodes. There's only so much filler that you could get with Bowie Jane explaining like the differences between Australia and America or whatever they're going to end up having to do. So I think they said, Miss Ceri, you know, we love having you here and we know what you're good at. You're good at strategizing. You're good at getting into people's heads. You're good at being charming. Why don't you see if you could? Just see it and we'll see if we can use any of it. I think it's possible that that's what's happening. Listen, call me crazy, but that's a theory.
Then we should get to that. And we should get to what's happening now. We've had so many questions, too, that we refuse to answer.
And some great comments.
And we got to talk about Oppenheimer, so.
All right.
Anything? I have one final thing to say about Riley.
Okay. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Girl. Being adorkable died in like 2014. Her final speech was such a dud. I mean, most people's final speeches are duds, but like I was high on Riley because I thought she was like a bit of a weirdo coming in this season. And she was, but like she does this speech and she has to like fill it with like, I don't know, I'm being weird right now. Girl, stop it.
Girl, wash your face.
Get over it. Zooey Deschanel is doing like commercials.
She's married to a property brother.
Oi, we're property brothers.
I just saw the ring. They're engaged.
She's doing weird like hotel commercials for like budget hotels. And I would imagine Gen Z people are watching these commercials and they're like, who is this old woman?
Well, they're not even thinking that. They're just like, oh, there's that commercial with the commercial actress. Yeah. They don't know about commercial New Girl. They don't know about 500 Days of Summer. They're just like, there's that lady. I don't like this commercial with this lady in it. They don't know.
Did you ever do bangs? No, you're responding. He's so offended. Oh my God.
Well, I've had like a long, like shorter layers up front, but no.
Okay.
I just think bangs more often than not are a mistake. They look really good on Zooey.
All right. all right. Goodbye. Let's move to this week.
Wait, one last thing about, okay. Are we done talking about Thursday? We got a couple things about Thursday's episode that I want to talk about.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Which on the topic of Riley, I just want to bring up, they had this shot of Riley with her makeup mirror in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
That they zoomed in on twice. It was like the shot of the nether organ.
Yeah, it's like
you're looking at her from
behind, and then there's the circular mirror, and you see her face through the mirror, right? That shot.
And it was like angled. It was a very freaky angle. I was like, someone graduated from film school and got their first job on Big Brother live feeds and was like, let me make this artistic. But they used it twice when they were talking about her. And we love the shots of my alliance is filled with Riley, shot of her eating a chip. Hysam, shot of him pumping iron. Felicia, shot of her sneezing. We love those. But this one was weird. Yeah. This one was artsy. This one was very auteur.
I mean, Stevie Soderbergh's not shooting anything right now. Stevie Spielberg, not shooting anything right now.
Yeah.
They need the money.
Maybe they're trying their hand. Yeah. They need money. So that
Yorgos Lanthimos is doing the
Yorgos
10 p.m. to 6 a.m. shift on the BB live feeds. Do you think
a lot of fisheye lens?
If you are a camera person on Big Brother, do you think the 10 to 6 a.m., midnight to 8 a.m. shift is the hot shift that you want? Or you think that's the like loser shift that like, I don't want to be up all night?
Depends on the day. They want the Monday post-veto shift.
Yeah.
So whatever that is. What is that? Like 6 p.m.
My thinking is that like lots of the fire stuff happens like 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah. You gotta stay up late.
Yeah.
Unless if Miss Felicia is HOH, then you go to bed.
Yeah.
Two other things about the live show. One, Julie's outfit. Not like, it's a pantsuit. What else can I say?
Yeah, it was like these beige pants with this like green jacket and the hair is
It was just a knot. It was a
big
knot.
It looked like my character in Baldur's Gate 3. Like just
in what?
But the Dungeons and Dragons game I'm currently I've been playing all morning. No, it was a knot.
The other thing about the live show and Julie, not only is she wearing a knot outfit, but that was the outfit she chose to wear for the first shot of her among the live audience that we have seen in years and years and years. And you brought up that you went to a live show before. Brett has been there. He sat in one of those seats. I mean, what did you think? Like, back to the live audience being, I guess, celebrated, acknowledged.
It was very Bob Saget. 1994, where he's like,
it's suit and everything.
Yeah, but he's like deep in the audience. He's like, some people like playing sports. Other people get hit in the face with balls playing sports.
It was kind of shocking to see.
But also like the people behind her were instructed to stay like facing forward, but like they're just
looking at nothing. Just a bunch of people hunched over in bad posture, like staring at nothing. Like, what are they staring at if the host is among them?
This is all Julie wanting to seem like a woman of the people, of which she is not. Like,
no.
Having been there, Julie wanted nothing to do with the dirty,
she didn't.
Mass, stinky people sitting in the chairs. she, like, when the camera was on, she was on, but, like, you know, like, I've seen other, you've seen other shows. I've seen,
of course,
I've seen the God, I've seen the God, Alex Trebek live multiple times. I've seen,
I haven't been to that
quite a few Jeopardy tapes. And they go to commercial, which it's not live, but they do live the tape and they take like the 5 minute break between segments. He gets out there. My man, I've seen like late stage Trebek. My man is out there taking questions, giving funny responses. Julie is like, yeah. Doesn't even know you. Yeah,
unless you, what if you said, what if you said, Julie, praise the Lord?
Oh, there you go.
Whatever you shouted out, Julie, I believe in God. Then she would want to talk to you, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean,
or what if you were like, Julie, convince me of the Lord's power. Don't you think then she would take a minute?
She, yeah, she would be like, amen. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. Amen,
brother. All right. I think that's all I had about the episode because it was boring. It was like, yeah. I tweeted a yawn. That's all I had to say because it was a blowout. Everyone was, voted for Riley to go. Yeah, bye-bye. Was, like, who
cares? It was. And like, it was just like, and it was the culmination of this weird week where it was like, they kind of weren't showing the story of what was happening in the house that week. And then they were like, well, we have to show a bunch of it. And then like, also, to come on, play the fucking HOH on Thursday night. Like,
I know.
What are we doing? I mean, I guess we're going to get part of that next week. Any thoughts on the pressure, the return of the pressure cooker?
Yeah, I was like, who cares? I mean, it's been so long.
The Zoomers don't know. They don't know.
The shot they, like, I mean, this is the only shot they have because this is the most recent picture of it, but it was like so grainy. It was like a still from another century, the shot they showed. Like, I was thinking to myself,
President William McKinley shot at the pressure cooker.
Oh, it's like,
we only have drawings. We only have court drawings. You know the drawing on the back of like the $2 bill of like everybody signing the Declaration of Independence and there's like 82 people standing there like all waiting to sign? Yeah. That's the only photo we have of the pressure cooker.
Well, it's just like, what do they expect me to do? Jump out of my seat cheering? Like, thank God. One comp from 20 years ago is back. Like,
and they were like, well, it's a scary reverse twist. So like,
oh, yeah. So they're going to twist it to make it suck.
I saw a great tweet that was like pressure cooker 2003 or whatever year it was. 18 hours. Pressure cooker 2023. 42 minutes.
Probably.
Like, it's going to be over before the fucking.
Guess who's going to be out first? Bowie Jane. She's going to be like, oh, my fingers, I got an itch. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Like,
they'll be like, the scary verse has a transmission. The first person to let go gets. And she's, her hand's already off. Her hand's already off. And she doesn't even know like what the prize to tempt people is or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
Is it, is like the stilt person going to be walking around for 20 hours?
That'd be great. Bring in Chris to Joseph on stilts, my man.
Maybe it's in the dark so nobody can see it. Maybe we, like it's in the dark and we, the audience, can't even see what's going on.
Can you do an impression of the Nether Gorgon's voice?
I don't even remember. That was like a week ago.
It was like, hello, children. Like, it was very.
Yeah, you couldn't really understand it. I was like, I'm not a captions on, babe. Like, more power to if you are. Don't.
I usually am, actually.
Not in my house. Not in my house.
Yeah.
Unless you need it.
Right.
Unless you're Matt. Like, Matt, come over. Like, we'll throw him on.
Then you,
I'm not the fucking Big Brother producers who, by the way, the veto, you missed the veto competition where it was like audio clues.
I know. I'm glad I missed it. I don't want to watch that. Jesus. That's painful.
Oh, so that was the thing about the veto competition. So, you know, these timed, it was like a timed one where like someone had to like do a bunch of clues and like inside of a room and it was timed. And then at the end, they show the results of like in sixth place with 5 minutes, 23 seconds was this, and they run down. So there's like a theory going on about the veto comp on Wednesday that Matt could not hear the audio clues, which again, Matt is deaf. Why would he hear the audio clues?
Like, they had to do something different.
Maybe do, you know what? Maybe for 16 weeks or however long this season, we're not doing any comps with audio clues. How about that? If you have a good idea for an audio thing, save it. BB26. Or you know what?
Right around the corner.
Don't do it a week that Matt... Do it after Matt gets voted out of the house. Whatever. So the feeds were down for like 19 hours for the veto competition. Something like really long. And also, all the winning times were like 2 minutes. It was like a pretty quick competition. And they only showed the top three winners. So it was like, all right, so here's the results of the veto comp in third place, second place, first place. So they didn't show who got the three worst times, which would is leading people to believe that Matt like DQ'd it or like got 25 minutes while everyone else got 4 minutes. Like the three winning times were all like between 2 and 3 minutes. They were all like pretty quick. So I don't know about who got 4 and 5, but it seemed like a pretty easy competition. It was very simple competition, but that would have been pretty embarrassing for CBS if it was like in sixth place, Matt, 37 minutes. And then in fifth place, Jag, 4 minutes. Like,
I mean, I maybe I'm too optimistic or too like erring on the side of people are good and they try their best. But I'm wondering if they really thought that they figured out the accessibility piece of it. And that's why, maybe that's why it pushed them to do it, of like, look how cool and what great press we're going to get to show, like, look how accessible we made this hearing competition for our deaf contestant. Like,
and
because they can't, you can't be so insensitive and so.
You know how I know they're not?
Stupid. Okay, go ahead.
Because CBS PR called up Entertainment Weekly and was like, yo, we've been getting flack on this for 2 weeks. You guys need to do a fluff piece with our like designer or whatever about how accessible we are being for Matt.
Right.
Which means like.
Which I didn't read. I read
half of it. And it was like, we took him into the house beforehand. Like after we cast him, but before, like during the sort of like the week where they all sit in a hotel in Burbank. Like we took him into the house and we're like, hey, can you hear stuff out of the speakers? And he was like, yeah. It's okay, like, okay, well, sure. We made the speakers louder. I don't know. I wasn't convinced reading that article. And it just sounded like, you know, when a company needs to lie about something, what do? You have like a friendly like media outlet write a piece about how good you guys are. Actually, pelicans and fish love oil. Like, it's their favorite food to eat. Like, so when you spill, like, it's actually good that the oil is in the Gulf of Mexico. Like, it's good. We all love oil. It's like really good. Olive oil, a little bit, just a little bit of salt, pepper, olive oil. Like, really good.
Yeah. They love it. Yeah. And polar bears are supposed to look like that.
Yeah. They love swimming and not having any place to stand.
Yeah.
The fire is good.
Okay. Should we get into spoilers? Fresh fires are
good.
They keep you warm. Yeah. It's not going to be summer forever.
Ooh, s'mores, courtesy of British Petroleum. Let's do some spoilers. Everyone knows what's going to happen. You're all on Twitter. You're all following us.
I know. Well, I accidentally also already said it in this podcast episode, which is Miss Felicia is HOH. Oh, yeah. Also, I don't know if she wants to be called Miss Felicia, but that seems to be what everyone's calling her. So
I'm calling her.
That's why I'm calling her that. She won HOH. Oh, yeah. We also didn't talk about like the theory. They spent time on the episode to given to Cameron's theory that Felicia is Denzel Washington's sister.
And I tweeted, the second most racist thing has been said on Big Brother this season.
But it was what a weird thing to spend.
Why?
I guess Cameron was on the block. So they were like, look, this is his personality.
He has a pretty bad personality. So I guess it's like pretty accurate to like, how about not? Like,
because they also, did they even show any Denzel Washington?
No, that would require them like having a clip of it.
Right? Like they didn't even show who he was talking about. The production value on this show is insanely bad.
Stop. No. Like, why? What a stupid thing to say. This isn't the relative show. I think that's on ABC. The one where Tom Hanks I'm a star, baby.
People love that show. Okay, so Felicia won HOH, which we love. We do love a 63-year-old woman winning HOH, being up in that big old HOH bed, calling the shots this week. We love it. What's so crazy is they've decided to do a backdoor heist plan. And so POV was played yesterday. They put up Cameron and Jag as the first nominees. Jag won POV, so he's going to take himself off, and they're going to nominate Hysam. And then the plan is to, it's a true backdoor.
But
backdoor
Hysam. To go back to your theory from 10 minutes ago.
My point, yes.
All week, they're like, we got to win HOH. Even before, even while Riley was still in the house, I was like, man, we got to backdoor Hysam's ass next week. We are not, this has been something people have been talking about since before Thursday. Like, we got to backdoor Hysam. This guy's too big in his britches. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know who's looking spicy is Red. We got to get Red out. You know who's sneakily playing both sides? Who's a Brett Rader all-star? America. America? We got a backdoor America this week. So there's been quite a bit of, like, maybe not Hysam.
Right. And who's starting it all?
If I were Matt, or if I were, like, anyone in the handful, if I were Blue or Jack, I would be so fucking pissed about that. Because, like, they really wanted to save Riley. And half of why they all voted out Riley this week is because it was, like, you basically had a unified house this week that wanted to get out Hysam. You have both sides really want to get Hysam out. And they were like, you know what? For the ease of us getting through the next week, the collective, we're going to get out Riley, because if we don't vote out Riley, then Hysam's alarm bells are going to be going off. And we need this to be, like, a true, true surprise backdoor on Hysam. So I'd be pissed. That has been the last, like, 24, 36 hours in the house. It seems like they're back to backdooring Hysam. It's Sunday afternoon as we're recording this.
Because they got enough footage. Because they got enough footage now to be able to make a show that's interesting to watch to the real super casual. Oh, yeah.
The Wednesday show is going to have a lot of buildup of, like, well, actually, America. Oh, maybe we'll get America out. So you this think Siri is a production plant?
Production industry plant.
Love it. I love it. Yeah. There is nothing to prove you wrong, which is what's great about the theory is you cannot prove it wrong.
So, which means I'm right. Yeah. So should we get into my other theory? This might be losing a little bit of steam. Maybe it's not this. But I texted Brett. I had a theory about Big Brother this season. This is when Brett was a little down. We were both a little, I was feeling a little like, the season's not that good. And you texted me, like, that you were sour on the season. But then you did sour, turn a corner.
I just, like, you know, it comes back and, like, I'm excited. I'm watching a ton of feeds. And then by week two, I was just like, I just wasn't watching many feeds. I was like, I wasn't really interested in watching the episodes. I watched them. I'm not full Danny yet. I'm like not watching the episodes, you know. I just was like, I just knew what was going on in the house. I knew it was like a pretty slam dunk, no Riley. Even all this stuff of like, oh, we're going to save Riley. Oh, never mind. We changed our mind the next day. Like, I just haven't had like juice for it. I just haven't had gusto. I mean, also, the show sucks. Like, even a great season like last season is like sucks in comparison. Looking outside of the window, like even on a good season is like, well, maybe the window's pretty good.
Yeah. So I think because it's the 25th season, right? So it's like landmark season, big time, big number, 25.
Flip a quarter, 25 cents.
I think it's possible that this season of Big Brother, maybe it was last season because last season was so good. Last season was the best season since like BB10 or whatever. But I think that it's sort of like The Bachelor circa 2017, where it was like, I watched The Bachelor until then and I loved it because people, unless they were in the know, like you and me about Big Brother, unless they were in the know, people were like, oh, The Bachelor, that's still on? You watch that? The people who are in the know were like, it's actually amazing. They have all these like great villains. There's interesting plot lines. It's cringy. It's like, it's funny to watch. We watch it with a sense of humor, right? But then suddenly everyone decided that that's how they were going to watch The Bachelor. And in that way, The Bachelor jumped the shark. Like, they had on the most ridiculous people. And yeah, the entire premise of the show was sort of lost. And it was just like, we lost it. Like, I can't watch The Bachelor anymore because the producers of the show themselves are way too in on the joke. Like, they saw the reaction. All these comedy people started watching it. I remember, like, Allison Williams from Girls, like, talked about how she has Bachelor watch parties. And I was like, this has jumped the shark.
The sports media world got into Bachelor as well. There were, like, Bachelor fantasy leagues. I mean, there are people who – I know people who are in Bachelor fantasy leagues, and they're not even, like, really sports people. But, like, it definitely got caught on with sports people and sports media as well, like, gamifying it and, like, watching it like it was a football game and stuff. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, you're completely right. And there was this Bachelor was like popular in that initial 2000 to 2004 burst of like new reality TV when Big Brother and Survivor and Joe Millionaire and all that stuff popped. And then probably sagged a little bit. And then, yeah, you're right that
it got a major
mid-2010s, there was this big resurgence of like appreciating the camp element of it. And then people like having these watch parties and gamifying it in that same way.
Exactly. And I'm concerned, like, it's not one-to-one, but I,
Big Brother was never as popular as the worst season, as the least popular season of The Bachelor.
But when I see all this press, and in part it is just due to the fact that it's been on for 25 years and people are like, how is that shit still on? But I've been seeing all this press and there are like some, there's a lot more like normies. I don't know if normies is the right word, but like funny people, cool people are talking about Big Brother more now. Yes. I mean, I know
us.
It's hard to believe. No, we're not like the us. Top definitely influencers not us.
In Big Brother.
Yeah. But, and I'm just like, oh, this is giving me the same feeling as back when I did watch The Bachelor of like, oh, if everyone's in on it now, there's no way it can maintain what it once was. Now, the one thing that that Big Brother has in its corner that has always been the reason that we enjoy it as much as you and I do is it has the live feed aspect. Because there's truly nothing like watching someone go from just one little comment of like, oh, did you leave the butter out? Can you make sure you put it back in the fridge next time? Something like that to seep into someone's mind and suddenly they fucking hate that person.
The way he told me to put the butter back. Who do you think you are?
I love it.
I mean,
like, that is truly entertaining.
That's like happening with, okay, I need to talk about Nicole for a little bit. We love Mimi. Okay. This is tied to the live stream element of it, like, which is great. Like, you don't even have to have Paramount Plus, or I mean, that's on Pluto TV, which is free now too. Like, no excuse to not watch the feeds. But like, if you're online like us on Twitter, on Reddit, people just cannot stop posting these like full things. So even if you're not following the feeds, like religiously, actively watching them, the best shit is just there.
Right. There's my clips. Girl Nicole, there's so much. Yeah.
Is so done with being on this television show, and I love it. Like, 9 days into the season, she's like, I'm beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm successful. I'm smart.
Absolutely.
I'm newlywed.
Oh.
Why the fuck am I here?
What am I doing here?
She just cannot with any of these people, and she is just like losing it. And she does like quite a bit of like camera talking when she's like alone in a room.
I've seen some clips.
She does not like being there anymore, and she's just like sick of everybody. And I just love the energy coming from her.
Yeah.
And to your point about the butter, everyone in the professors like hates her now because like she doesn't talk to them, and like Felicia's like, oh, we got a backdoor Nicole, like, because she just doesn't talk to me anymore. And it's like, she doesn't talk to anyone because she hates you all, and she thought this was going to be a better experience than it was, and she's realizing that her stock as a human being is like so much better when she's like not on this stupid show, because she's like this brilliant like political influencer.
Yeah.
I'm sure she has a beautiful husband in Washington D.C. where she lives. Like, she's just such like she's like
I had a burgeoning
career.
She might
be the most normal person to ever be on Big Brother, because she's like, I'm talented and successful and beautiful. Why the fuck am I here?
Exactly. And that's why I think it's so hard to cast for this show. Because, like, yeah, people like Nicole don't want to be on this show.
Her brain they shouldn't want to be on this show. Unbroken to be on this show.
Yeah, exactly. We need to get, let's get into the questions so that we for sure get them.
You know what? You know what question I'm going to read what? First?
Please.
The question whatever, from our email. Email us. Hey, JulieBigBrother at gmail.com. Email never dies. Social media comes and goes. You can block us. You can unblock us. You can't block us anymore. You cannot block us anymore, but you can email us.
Mute me, baby.
You can email us. Colin emails us. Love the podcast. I have a great.
Thank you.
We love you too, Colin. I have a game question for the pod. FMK, Hysam Felicia Red.
What? It's a very specific question. Like, why these three were so important to Colin for to get our FMK opinions on, I'll never know unless he emails us again. Hey, JulieBigBrother at gmail.com. But so I'll go first. So fuck, marry, kill, Hysam, Felicia, Red. I'll obviously kill Red. Like, this is so obvious.
Yeah, we love you, Colin, but this is like, I'm going to have the same answer as Danielle.
And then I'm going to fuck Hysam. Yeah. And I'm going to marry Felicia. Yeah. Like, duh. Hysam's in amazing stable. Shape.
She was in the Air Force. You can get that USAA insurance.
She's got a beautiful house. We saw that house in her intro package. So we can live there. Yeah, no. I'll move in.
Colin, this was such a simple question.
Simple, challenge specific.
We dare you. Point. Email us again. Challenge us.
I do want to call out, we got a question in the live chat. Or not a question, a comment from Kyle. Big Brother Australia, they used the original Dutch format up to season 12, and then they came up with their own format. Season 12 and 13 are on Paramount Plus and are superior to BB US. Okay, but here's the problem, Kyle. You're saying that as if we are Big Brother super fans who are going to watch seasons of shows from other territories. We are casuals. We will never do
Kyle's
that.
Kyle's like, yeah, it's like the Dutch version. Like, oh, yeah, Danielle and I. So we love the Dutch. We love the Dutch Big Brother.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I would say we are fine with the Dutch.
He's clarifying too. We're not calling you out. We love you, Kyle. But like,
yeah,
no idea what they're doing and. Big Brother Amsterdam. There's a calming disembodied voice that plays the role of Big Brother and talks to the house guests in the DR. Yeah, calming. I've heard that. I've heard that in other things.
Okay. We also got a comment in the live stream from Moonlight Cruise, which sounds delightful. I'd love to take a Moonlight Cruise. You should use Miss Felicia's Hey Julie from Thursday in your intro. I know. Miss Felicia is on our level. That would require me just because we are old like her.
That would require me to do some work. So
we got some great comments in the Discord.
Yeah.
I just want one. I got to read this one.
Of course.
We have ones before this, but Jump for Joy wants to know, what would each of your poses be in the opening credits theme song? But here's the guess. My guess for Danny, a spin transition into arms crossed. My guess for Brett, nodding and thumbs up.
They're both like...
Okay, so here's what my guess is. Brett's would be the spin transition, popping the collar.
Oh, God. No.
And mine, I love, yes, definitely. I would do a spin transition with, yeah, a little self-hug. Like a coy little, like, hugging myself.
I bet that there's, like, a book. And they're like, we only have 16 approved motions by our legal team. First of all, I love love the new intro this year. Hysam's is iconic. We're gonna be using the Hysam gif.
Is he the one where it's like, come over here?
No, he just does like a little finger pointy.
Over the corona, yeah. Like the shaking of the yeah. hips. I don't even know what it's
I don't
called.
Know what I would do because I would want to be like transgressive. I would want to subvert expectations. I would want to just like do nothing and just like joylessly stare.
What if they allowed you a prop? So you brought in a chair and then you put it down and sat in it backwards.
Oh yeah. Like,
hey. Yeah.
What if I have a chair and I set it down and then I just try to, and I don't sit in it. I miss and I fall to the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep the blooper. Okay, from Tulinator, how many times will we have to hear Nether Region this season?
I mean, a lot. Part of me was like, when the multiverse thing was happening on the first episode, I was like, so we're doing this like 2 weeks into the season, 3 weeks, and then they're just going to forget about it. Like, I can't imagine we're doing this all season long. Because remember, like, BB Rewind and all these other ones, it's just like
Roadkill.
Roadkill, get ready. And then, like, 3 weeks later, they're like, yeah, whatever. Who cares?
Twin Star Phil, honestly, they could have called it Nether Dimension, Zone, Realm, but they got to be extra and use Region, Nether Region. Yeah, they knew we were going to eat it up. They knew we were all going to be like, why did they call it that? And they love it. Oh, and then we had another question from Jump for Joy. What did you think of Julie breaking the fourth wall and walking into the crowd during the live eviction? Are the producers crossing the picket lines, getting a little too bold? Or do you like the flair? I like the flair. I like them mixing it up because, you know, not that Julie does well with like a ton of confusing directions, but I do like a different view of the studio.
The thought of her having to interact with regular human beings is deeply hilarious to me. So I think it's funny.
Keep it coming.
I think it's funny. Here's a thing that I thought. Why doesn't she hug people anymore? Remember?
Because
2020, she's like, air hug, social distancing.
Les Moonves is too old and immunocompromised. First,
a number of things. You guys have the audience there. You have her standing amongst the people, breathing their disgusting regular human being breath.
Yeah.
She can hug. Second, she's Julie Chen. Is Julie Chen vaccinated? Probably not. What does she care? She doesn't believe in it.
The Lord is her vaccination. Yeah, exactly.
So why can't she hug? Like, she's just out of the hug? She needs the hug. I don't like this.
I personally am not, I wouldn't push a hug personally. Cause like what? I don't need to see Julie hugging. It's probably an awkward, bad hug anyway. It's definitely the hug where, you know, crotches are out.
I'm getting a hug.
They are not in on that hug.
I'm getting a hug. Crotch out. I'm getting a crotch. That's fine.
But you saying that makes you sound like those guys who are like, where's my hug?
No, I mean, I'm not like that.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly where's what you're talking about, but I'm only doing that with Julie Chen.
Where's my hug?
Okay. I shake a woman's hand.
Pat her on
date.
The back.
It's been a pleasure. I will coordinate with you via email.
Hey, Julia, bigbrother@gmail.com. From Bat Hot. There is an episode of Fear Factor that's Survivor versus Big Brother themed. I think this could make some good off-season podcast content. Guess what? There's never going to be another off season again because the writer's strike is still happening and they need to pump out these seasons. We're going straight from Big Brother into Survivor and they're going to have another season of Big Brother ready for us.
They're overlapping for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, we're never going to have an off season again.
Also, watching Fear Factor would require me to engage with Joe Rogan. So that's a not for me.
It's a not. It's a not.
Bat hot, bat not.
Thank you for your questions and comments. I think I got them all. No?
Question. This is not in the questions part of the Discord, but I'm reading it anyway. It's from the Big Brother part of the Discord. Can the BB soundstage withstand hurricane winds? I fear for them. You think they're telling them?
Question for you, Brett. I was thinking it'd be weird if they didn't, if it was still a hurricane, but it's not a hurricane anymore, right?
It's going to be a tropical storm, which is defined, as I've read, by winds between 39 and 73 miles per hour. We're going to get a tropical storm. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of wind. So
I mean, I don't think it hurts to tell them because they're going to have to like stay
inside. I would
also
say too, like, hey, we're closing the backyard. There's going to be a really bad rainstorm. We just don't want to.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I should probably watch the feeds to see what they're saying and how they're reacting to like, it's.
Well, I think they're closed.
It's been, are they?
Feeds are down. Oh. Yeah.
It's been raining all day here in LA. So, and it's going to be increasing. So. Maybe there should be like a little like hurricane live feed watch party tonight.
Ooh, that'd be fab. Why didn't we think of that beforehand? Yeah. I have a question to you, sorry. Brett. Yes, related to Oppie. Because I saw Oppenheimer finally. Oh, and someone asked for my Barbie review. And it's in the Discord. Join our Discord. I said, my review is short. I thought Barbie was really good. I think it's a really good movie for children. Like, do I need to see it again? No. I think My daughter eventually will probably want to watch it on repeat. And that's enough for me. I don't need to choose to see it again. Oppenheimer, I thought, was a great film for adults. Sorry, but it's true. So I really
was anyone saying it wasn't for adults?
Well, I don't know. It's just like people, you know, people are like Barbie versus Oppenheimer. I'm like, Barbie is for kids. Oppenheimer is for me to enjoy in a VIP cinema with a glass of wine in hand. But anyway,
Oppenheimer is very
my
much
question
for, adults,
for you, yeah. Brett, regarding Oppenheimer. Do you think Christopher Nolan, who directed and I think wrote Oppenheimer,
correct,
is a Big Brother live feeds fan? Because there is a moment, sorry, spoilers. There's a moment, spoilers for Oppenheimer.
It's been out 3
in
weeks.
Oppenheimer, where it's a throw, almost not throwaway, but it's just a line. Oppenheimer says to Robert Downey Jr.'s character, Robert Downey Jr. is like, name is Strauss, something Strauss. Yeah. Strauss, he's like the dean of Harvard or something. I don't know.
he's a senator. No, he's a
but he's
senator.
Not a scientist. No, he's not. He's in charge of the university. He hires him to come to the university. He hires him at the university.
So, but because of senator shit, not school shit. Both. It's both.
But he's the one who gives. Who's trying to get Oppenheimer to come join the university? Anyway. Anyway, while he's trying to woo Oppenheimer to come to the university because he's the dean of admissions.
Danielle's like, it was crazy when they dropped that bomb on Russia at the end.
They're okay. Oppenheimer, he says something about how he used to be a shoe salesman. Mm-hmm. And Oppenheimer like hits him back with like, oh, a lowly shoe mm-hmm. salesman. And Robert Downey Jr. is like, I never said lowly. And you're like, ooh, this was a spicy little moment. But you don't really think about it. It's not that big a deal. But clearly this moment has been percolating in Robert Downey Jr.'s character's mind for years that lead him to try to get to try to get Oppenheimer's security clearances taken away years and years later after he drops the bomb. That is such a Big Brother thing of like this little comment. Don't you think it's like this little comment that happens early on in the movie that really bugged Robert Downey Jr. But in the moment, Robert Downey Jr. just sort of laughed it off.
Robert Downey Jr. is Heisman. He's like,
yes,
Riley, you said that you were thinking about maybe targeting me. So Mr. Oppenheimer, I'm revoking your security clearance. You're an enemy of the American people.
Well, I also thought, I was like, because it was very dramatic and I almost texted you, but I wanted to ask you live on the podcast. Did you or did you not say that Aaron Sorkin should have written the security clearance?
The movie was very Sorkin-esque. I actually thought it was very similar to the Social Network and how it was like structured. It's like about
said that it would be
it's
better.
About one thing, but also about like the legal stuff surrounding another part of the thing.
But they kept saying, like, this is not a hearing. This is not a trial. And I was like, the whole time I was like, well, what the hell is this? Like, I couldn't believe it was so dramatic. And for what? His security clearance? Who cares? He's old. Why does he need that anymore?
I don't have
Why
security does he go clearance. Retire? I have a podcast. Yeah, I'm fine.
And I have a great life. Like, how much security clearance do you need? I don't think he should have security clearance. He's going to go build another big old bomb as big as a dang bus.
Yeah, last time he gave him security clearance, he built a bomb.
So I just thought that was very Big Brother. And I was like, I bet Chris Nolan watches the feeds and notices these little things. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening to our podcast. You can always tweet at us at HeyJulieBB on Twitter or email us heyjuliebigbrother@gmail.com. Join our Discord, folks.
The link is in the description. Click it.
And we so loved
bop
having
it.
Like
twist it.
Yeah, bop it. Oppenheimer. We so appreciate having people watching on the live stream today. So fun in the comments in the chat. We love it. Thank you so much to Kyle and Moonlight Cruise and everyone else. Everyone should comment next time. And we'll see you next week, right?
Yeah, we love you. Bye, Julie.
Bye, Julie.